And tonight I'm joined by two very special guests known as one author, Christina and Lauren, who are known as Christina Lauren. So hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
So you guys have a new YA book that just came out called Sublime. So we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, but we're also going to talk about some really fun Halloween stuff, because Halloween is, well, basically tomorrow, which is kind of fun.
Yay!
So what we usually do at Book Hype is we usually kick it off with what we've been reading lately. So have you guys had some time to read anything, or are you just totally immersed in writing some new stuff? What's been going on for you guys?
Well, this is Lauren, and I have been on a historical romance kick lately. Like, I cannot get enough of it. So I have been having, so Sarah McLean is my jam right now.
Yes,
I'm just tearing my way through all of her books. And that's pretty much when I'm not writing or parenting or occasionally wifing, I am reading all of her books.
Yeah, she's got the last one in her latest series comes out in
November.
November 25th. It's like marked. Yep. On my calendar, because I'm dying right now. Dying. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's really good. Like, really good. I didn't think that historical was going to be my thing. I don't know why, because I like shows that are like that. I like sort of, you know, actual historical literature. I don't know. And I love romance, obviously. So it's funny that it never kind of clicked for me that this would be something that I would really like. But
Have you ever read anything by Dana Rayborn?
No, I have not, but it is also on my list.
Oh, yeah, definitely. She's, like, one of my favorites, so.
I take any and all recs. Seriously.
Yeah.
I need a big list because I'm reading really fast. And I'm on this comic book binge right now, too.
Nice.
So I'm sort of balancing between, like, historical romance and Hawkeye, you know?
As you do, I mean.
Right, exactly.
Excellent.
So this is Christina, have also been reading comic books. So I just started Saga. And then I got a bunch of them for my daughter for her birthday next month, and so I've been kind of looking through those. But I'm super excited because we go to Y'all Fest next week, and Susan E. is going to be there. And Angel Fall is one of, like, I love that book so much. So I've been reading World After.
Very fun. That is, Y'all Fest should be a great time. They usually have an amazing lineup. So
yes.
Yeah. We were supposed to go last year. We had been doing a tour for Beautiful Player, and the flight from New York City to Charleston, it kept getting canceled. Like, initially, I think we were supposed to leave from JFK, and then we, like, took off and went to LaGuardia because that flight was canceled, and literally, like, no matter what we did, we couldn't get on a flight, so we just went home.
That's such a bummer.
It was sad. We were very sad.
But there's going to be some fangirling because
Oh, yeah, we're stretching.
Nice.
Yes.
I can't wait. So let's see. I read a couple new things. I read Allie Carter's new book recently, her Embassy Row series.
I got that.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. It comes out in, like, another month, I think. But I like it. It's I love the world she's created with all these kids that live in the different embassies and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's super cool. Because she gets into some of the technicalities about how, you know, you step on a different embassy and you're actually technically in their country. And, like, it's cool. I liked it a lot. And it's very Allie Carter, you know what I mean? Like, it's that same vibe that you got from, I love her Heist series, like the Heist mm-hmm. Society. Love it. So it's kind of got that vibe, too. So that was super fun. And, and I read the Blue Lily, Lily Blue by Maggie Stiefvater. It's
the third
book in the Raven cycle. And that, I love the characters in that book. I don't know what it is about them, but I love them with a passion. Like, all of them. They're so, I don't know, they're so well-crafted. And so that was really good, too. And it ends on, like, this killer cliffhanger.
Oh, that's awesome. She is definitely a writer who gets better with every single book she does.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, you can see her. I mean, she's already strong, right? But mm-hmm. Every book that comes out, you're just like, okay, that's better than the one before.
And this series is definitely, like, something that I'm really interested in. I wasn't so much into the Wolves series, mm-hmm. but, like, this one is definitely, like, right up my alley. I love it.
I've heard that from so many people.
Yeah,
yeah, it's that's awesome.
Stunning. So definitely something new, like, to check out and keep in mind as the winter approaches and you want to, like, buckle down with a nice book inside. Because I live in New England and it's starting to get really cold here, so.
Same. I'm in Utah, so.
Oh, yeah. You get really cold.
Actually, I just got Ali Condie's new book because she's in Utah, too.
Atlantis.
So I haven't started that one yet.
That one sounds really cool. I like the idea, the concept of the above and the below and the twins, and you can only be in one place. One of you can only be. So, yeah, it's very cool. I like it.
And she's so lovely, too.
She is, like, the sweetest person. Like, seriously. Yes, yes, I definitely agree. All right, so let's chat a little bit about some Halloween stuff. Because, you know, it is kind of right around the corner. Do you guys do stuff for Halloween? Do you, like, have parties? Or you kids, so do you, like, get really cool costumes with the kids? Do you do anything like that? Anything special?
Yeah, so I have a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old. And so they are at that peak age where Halloween is, like, almost better than Christmas. And then Christmas comes around and nothing is better than Christmas. they really love dressing up regardless, like any day of the year. But Halloween is this amazing sort of day of heaven. And it's funny because my husband he's kind of a nerd, you know, and in his spare time, he likes programming things. So he made this thing for our garden where it can like measure soil humidity and determine how much water it needs. And so the kids were talking about their Halloween costumes and my daughter wanted to be Elsa, and I was like, no, like every girl is going to be a Queen Elsa this year.
Seriously.
So he's like, okay, I have an idea. And this was when we were on tour for Sublime, so I like couldn't sort of throw in my vote at home, my very loud no vote. And so they agreed while I was gone that he would make a costume that has LED lights sewn into the leotard under her costume that flashes down her arms so it looks like she's shooting ice out of her hands. And I was like, all right, I can get on board with that.
That's going to be a very unique Elsa right there. I like
it. Yeah, it's going to be cool. It's going to be cool.
We're pretty boring this year. Halloween is kind of our biggest holiday, you know, that we decorate the most for and stuff. And my daughter turns 14, so we're, like, getting on the end of Halloween. Normally we have fog machines and music and all, like, pumpkins line the driveway and lights and everything. And this year we don't have a single thing up yet because we've been traveling. So somebody in my house is going to have to figure that out tomorrow.
You have 3 hours to decorate.
Yeah, it's not going to be me. We have a deadline in like 2.5 weeks.
So. Oh, you guys are super busy then.
Yeah, so it's good though. This book is fun. It's funny because we were on tour, like I said, for Sublime. And when I came home, my husband and kids had done all of the decorating. So I was like, well, excellent. Like, we don't have to do any of that. But I think a lot of it is the age. Like, they just can't wait.
Every time
we go to the grocery store, my son is like, can we buy more spiders? Like, yeah, we have enough spiders.
You're like, no, no one needs that many spiders.
My daughter's dressing up. She's being Alice in Wonderland. But it's just, it's kind of not as fun. It becomes more obnoxious when a group of teenagers come to my door, you know, rather than 4- and 7-year-olds. So
yeah, it's a little different. It's a different vibe.
Yeah.
And sometimes the costumes are very different as well. Like, it gets a little crazy. Yeah. Yes. All right. So for you guys, what makes a scary book or, like, a creepy book in a way? Like, we just did a list of, like, some of the creepiest books that are out there right now for, like, YA. And so what makes a book scary or creepy in your mind as a reader? What do you like to read about?
For me, it's all about atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to feel, like, I want to see the landscape and what's happening play out like a movie rather than, like, the boo factor of it and stuff. What were the books we were reading, Lo? We read The Shining, which, of course, more terrifying than, like, the movie was, and I had forgotten kind of how disturbing and stuff it was.
Yeah.
The
Haunting of Hill House.
We were
reading The Little Stranger. That was terrifying.
Yes.
That one was a slow build, though, because you don't know what's happening, and you're like, what is haunting this house? So we were reading all these books because our next YA that comes out next year is kind of a mix between horror and romance.
Excellent.
So I agree. I think atmosphere for sure. And I also think, like, the slow build where you're revealing a little bit of the details and it just – you're starting to get that sort of feeling of dread, you know,
when
you
yes.
like, can't stop but you don't want to really know what's happening. And a lot of that comes out of adjectives and, like, you know, the sort of creepy sounds that you hear and, you know, things that, like, don't seem to quite come together right and the description of how things look, I think, you know.
Like, yeah. we've both been listening to Serial, and just having that play in the car and getting out of the car, there's just, like, a feeling like something's creepy.
Yeah. That's awesome. See, I like the stuff that could be true. Like the excessively like Freddy Krueger stuff, I don't get. Like that doesn't make me scared. But if it's like more of a thriller where it could really happen, that's what creeps me out. Like if the possibility is there and it's fairly like certain it could happen, then I'm totally freaked out by the more
Zombies.
realistic. Yeah, zombies are like questionable, but like
In my head, that can really happen.
you're like, the apocalypse coming. You're like, no, it could. It's possible.
Love it.
Yeah, but no, stuff like that. That's what I always find scary. It's that what if factor. Like, if this did happen, like, what would you do and how would you handle it compared to like the character in the book kind of thing. So.
That's a really interesting question, though, that it brings up, which is what's the difference between a book that's fun scary versus just scary?
Scary,
Like,
yeah.
fun scary for me are haunted house books
Yeah,
and,
ghost stories and
yes, ghost stories, but not fun scary are like virus books. Like, this is how we all
yeah.
die, and like, here's how your children will have to figure it out. And like, those kinds of books I actually can't go anywhere near because they'll just like get into my brain and make it,
Yeah, or
you
like
know.
creepy stalkery kind of books, or like that kind
Yeah.
of thing. Those
Yeah.
like the murder mystery element kind of thing. Those I love reading them. Don't get me wrong. Like I read them like there's no tomorrow, but they creep me out sometimes. So
Yeah.
yeah. Did you guys have any like fun like Halloween books that you read as kids that you can remember or anything like that? Because like there's all the R.L. like R.L. Stine just came out with a new Fear Street book. I don't know if you guys ever read those, but like. That like it's so cool that after all this time, like 2 decades ago, it was when all the other Fear Streets came out. So this is like a brand new kind of thing for him, and it was a really fun book. So do you guys have anything that you like remember reading when you were younger that was like totally Halloween based?
I was much more of a romance reader. I think that probably is true for Christina as well. My sister devoured every Stephen King book that there ever was. But for me, I just, like, she was telling me what it was about. And I was like, okay, hard pass. Like, never going to pick that book up. And I think that's something I had read as an adult, but it would have scared me too much.
Yeah, the creepy clown is too much.
I think I read every Nancy Drew book and Hardy
Well,
Boys book
yes,
that
for
there
sure.
was. Yeah, I love
Don't
that
think
murder
of those as
mystery.
scary, but yeah, I
No,
see what
it's
you
the
mean.
murder mystery, like Scooby-Doo
Yeah.
aspect of it. But I would have been all over books like Gretchen McNeil books, like, you know, Ten and
Yes.
Possession and, you
Yeah.
know, oh,
The
I would have
Even's really
loved
fun
those.
too. Yeah, I loved the one book. It's creepy, but like I love it. Is Anna Dressed in Blood? I don't know if you guys have read that by
Oh, I
Kendra
have read that. My
Blake.
daughter just read that for school and gave a report on
Yeah,
it.
I adore that book. It is so cool and different. I really enjoyed that one. So that's definitely something that I love. But
Yeah.
how about scary movies? Do you guys watch scary movies?
I love scary movies.
What
I
are some of your
used to love
favorites?
scary
Oh
movies.
no! Did you come across one that just no did it did them in for you?
I just feel like at one point I broke. Like, I was like into it, and then all of a sudden it was like too scary and I like couldn't go to bed alone. So
And then we're done.
I am officially an old lady. We are all done with this.
But I like scary movies, so there's like a difference to me. There's like Scream and I Know What You Did Last Summer and Halloween, and then there's like Saw and
Yeah.
you know,
Hostel and
yeah, like
yeah.
those I can't do. I don't like anything kind of super disturbing and but
Yeah.
we love the AMC like Fear Fest thing that they do.
Oh,
Like,
yes.
yeah, love those. We watch those. Although sometimes you forget that like some of the stuff that happens in them is so sick. You sort of like, you know, glamorize them in your head. Like, it's Halloween, let's watch Halloween. And then you watch it and you're like, oh, wow.
See, I'm like
That's
all
scary.
about the ABC Family Halloween, where it's much
Yes,
safer.
yes.
Little Hocus Pocus, you know, Casper. It's all
Yeah.
good.
Yeah, exactly. I remember when I went to see World War Z with my husband, and I actually had to leave the theater in the first scene when they're in New York and like all the people are getting rabid or whatever it is, and they're like running around biting each other, and he has his two daughters. They have the two daughters and his wife. And I actually had to leave the theater and go into the bathroom and call Christina. And I was like, you have to tell me everything that happens in this movie because I'm not going to be able to handle watching this if I don't know the kids are going to be okay. So she
Oh.
like walked me through the entire movie. And then I was like, all right, I'm good. Like, and then I really loved it. Even though I knew it was coming, I really loved it. I
I
just like
love zombie
could do it.
movies.
Yeah,
Love
do you,
them.
so what's your favorite zombie movie?
Well, I remember I have this like strange memory of being probably like six or seven, and my family got Night of the Living Dead for Christmas, and they were watching it, and something about that stuck with me. Obviously, that's not my favorite zombie movie, but just something about that stuck with me. And I love, what is the one with Will Smith in it?
Oh, I Am Legend.
I Am Legend.
I Am Legend. I love that movie.
That book is amazing, too.
But I am such a scaredy cat that, like, when I go to let my dogs outside or something, you know, at night, we have fields around us, and I will seriously turn on the light before I open that door, like, in case there's a zombie or something out there.
I love it.
I first started watching The Walking Dead, I would, like, peek around the corner to see what was there before I would take my trash out. It makes no sense.
Well, you have to be careful, man. Zombies could be anywhere.
Anytime, anywhere.
Yep, exactly.
Adulting, doing it right.
I love it. All right, so let's talk a little bit about YA novels, because Sublime is your first YA, even though you've written a bunch of other things. So what do you guys think is hot right now in YA? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Probably contemporary. Yeah.
I have to say, I don't read a lot of I didn't read a lot of contemporary, but lately I've been reading a ton of it. It's really I've surprised myself, because it's usually not my thing. I usually like a little something, you know, different in my books, but the contemporary feel has, like, I don't know, it feels like it's come a long way. Like, there's more to it now. It's got way more layers, and there's a lot more going on in it. Like, one of my all-time favorite books is Anna and the French Kiss, so and that says a lot, because it's a contemporary novel, but I feel like there's more kind of stylistically going that way, where the characters are more kind of developed and layered. And
so, you know, I think, I mean, my theory on the whole evolution from, you know, before to now, like, you know, YA was really exploding in, like, 2006, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, right?
Yeah.
And I think in a lot of ways initially, at least from where I stood, like, it was very heavy on angels and, you know, vampires and wolves and sort of paranormal, supernatural things as a way to separate itself from adult contemporary literature. I mean, there had been that whole sci-fi, you know, and still is, that sci-fi component and fantasy component of readers for adults, like George R. R. Martin stuff and all that before Marion Zimmer Bradley, like everything that came before that. But I think YA really tackled that as a way to, like, bring in the fantasy into the books. But I even think at the time, if there had been a lot of contemporary in YA, it would have been a little bit like, oh, you and your realistic stories, like, come read, you know, Franzen if you want contemporary novels. And I think, like, the more adults that started reading YA, the more that there really was sort of this, like, look, this is an actual thing. Like, stories about young people are things that are not just for young people, they're for grown-ups too. And so I feel like it's, in a way, it's a little ballsy that YA has gone more contemporary, because it's almost like borrowing issues and stories that are used to be considered kind of an adult thing. But in a way, I also miss that, like, sort of the silly, fun, paranormal stories. And I know there's still a lot of that, but I worry that it's, like, it's going a different direction, which is fine. I think it could split into multiple directions, but I don't want to lose that feeling of, like, escapism and fantasy, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Because when I got into reading YA, I got in through Twilight, like you guys did. Well, you guys did. And so that, I love that kind of escapism part of it. Like, that is always really fantastic, but I think what kind of killed it for me was when we transitioned into all the dystopian and all that heaviness that came with the dystopian. That's not really something I love reading. Like, I'll read it, I respect it. It's really, a lot of it's really, really well written, but it's not what I want to read as a person. So I think that's why I've, like, transitioned into the reading of the contemporary, because it does still have that fun to it, even though it does bring in some, like, different topics and stuff. So I definitely see what you're saying there.
Yeah. And I mean, there were YA authors doing contemporary a long time ago. I mean, Sarah Dessen, you know, she's been doing this
forever.
And I don't necessarily think her stuff was necessarily fluffy or somehow less weighted. I mean, she has amazing books.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, now, you know, with sort of John Green and Gail Forman and Stephanie Perkins and Rainbow Rowell and these people that are getting much more mainstream outside of just the YA bubble, you know, it's, I feel like some of these contemporary stories are being explored and taken a lot more seriously. And I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. I think it's a good thing in that, like, the writing is just mind-blowingly good. But I don't want the community itself to take itself too seriously.
Yeah, you know? And I think that's what definitely differentiates the YA and the adult stuff. Like, oftentimes I'll pick up an adult novel that sounds really great, but, like, the adult, like, contemporary stuff is always, it feels very, I don't know.
It like takes it, itself very seriously.
Yeah, thank you. I'm like, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm like, I'm trying to find a polite word. But yeah, there are times I'm just like, no, like, you sound great, but at the same time, you're way too stuffy for me. Like, I just need something that's still going to be serious and yet a lot of fun, so.
Yeah.
Definitely. So what do you think might come after contemporary? Any thoughts on what might be coming down the road for YA?
I mean, it depends on if you think it's going to follow what's happening in, you know, mainstream fiction, which I think is sort of the thriller. You know, we have Gone Girl. That's really exploded. We have The Cuckoo's Calling and Silkworm. I mean, I think it's possible that thrillers could be a thing in YA that really, if done well, takes off, you know?
Yeah, there's definitely which been I would a love. Couple. Yeah, me too. Because there's been a couple. Like, more recently, there's been a Jennifer L. Armentrout wrote one, which is the coolest cover with the ballerina and the broken glass.
Yes.
It is super creepy. Loved it. And there's been a couple others that I'm not going to be able to remember off the top of my head, of course.
Becca Fitzpatrick had Black Eyes.
Yes.
Yeah, Black Eyes.
Yep.
That one just came out. It was pretty great. And then, you know, Gretchen McNeil is writing, you know, thrillers.
She Get like Even. 10. Yeah, 10 came out. And Get Even was her latest one. And that one was really good. That was actually on my creepy book list.
Yeah.
Because I really enjoyed that one as well, so.
Yeah. So we'll see. That might be one way it goes. I actually kind of want to see a return of mythology. I mean, we had some really great mythology books back in 2011. And, you know, when we had Goddess Test and we had Star-Crossed and, you know, Rick Riordan is always big. But it would be, for me, I feel like I'm never done with that. Like, some people always want more vampires. Some people always want more wolves. Some people always want more of this or that. I always want more mythology. I just can't get enough, so.
Yeah. I love those kind of retellings of stories we think we already know or things we already know but told in a completely different way.
I love those. There's been a couple that came out this year. There was one that was a reimagining of The Phantom of the Opera.
Oh,
and then
yes.
There was one that was a reimagining of The Nutcracker. And they were both.
Oh, Winter Spell.
Yes,
Winter Spell. That was Claire's.
Yep.
Yeah.
It is so cool. Like, there's so many things going on in them that are just like, you know the story, but you don't know the story. Mm-hmm. So I love that sort of stuff, too. I'm totally on board with that. And, of course, Rick Riordan is, like, the king of mythology. And now he's transitioning into his Norse mythology stuff. So it would be interesting, I think, to see some more of that come out as well. Because there's never enough of that, I don't think.
Yeah.
Definitely cool. Agree. All right, so now it's time to talk really all about you ladies, because you are our guests, so it's only fair.
In the hot seat.
That's right, in the hot seat. So let's talk about you guys a little bit. You guys started writing ages ago, but you started writing as fan fiction writers. Mm-hmm. So what was that like? How did you guys, like, meet and decide, like, hey, yeah, let's write some fan fiction together?
So Lo and I... we're each writing stories on our own, and Lo was putting together a panel at Comic-Con on fan works. And so she asked me to come and be on this panel, and so that was the first time. We'd been friends, you know, we'd, like, read each other's stories and been friends online, but we met for the first time. Was it 2009, Lo?
Mm-hmm.
In 2009. Yeah. And just, like, got along great and thought, you know, why don't we write something together? And so we wrote this story together that we actually have up on Wattpad now. And it was just really fun. It was just really fun, a new experience writing with someone else. And then we were like, let's write a book. Like, what if we wrote a book? Like that, you know?
Yeah.
It'd be too hard, right?
No, not at all. You know?
And so the first thing that we wrote together book-wise was just horrible. It was this super angsty. Like, anybody who knows us will tell you that we are not serious. We like to have fun and goof around, don't take ourselves too seriously. And this book was super angsty, super serious. It was about, like, this man who's lost his wife and his child and, you know, all of these things. And we were, I don't even know how far we were into it, but we were just like, what are we
just
doing?
Just a few chapters. And we were like, ugh, I don't feel like writing today. What's wrong? Maybe I can only ever write fan fiction. And then we're like, maybe it's what we're trying to write.
So Why do you guys think you chose to write that story? I can't believe you wrote that story. I've read your stuff. I'm like, what? You wrote
I think it's because we were like, okay, we are going to transition from this hobby into a real thing. And so we must therefore write something very serious. And it just like, I think for us, it wasn't even conscious. We weren't like, okay, well, we need to be serious now. It was like, okay, we're going to write a book. And so a book is like a big deal and it's going to be heavy. And it was like, we started talking about this story and yeah, no. So then we like kind of, we threw that out. We will never return to it. There's absolutely no reason that book ever needs to get written. And we outlined this story called Parted, which is actually the book that we wrote and signed our agent Holly Root for. And it's young adult. And it's about sort of these group of individuals that have souls of ancient gods in them, just like fragments of the souls that had been torn apart by the angry fates. And nice. It's kind of a story about how these kids find their way to each other and how they are kind of trying to get together in this one place to battle the fates, which are bad, the bad guys in this story. And it was, there was kissing and mythology and swoon and like skinny dipping and, you know, magical powers. And it was like, seriously, we loved writing this so much. It was like writing fan fiction for each other.
That's exactly what it was too. It was like, it took us back to the thing that we loved about being in fandom, which was just writing for the pure joy of writing. And so that's what that was for us, rather than, you know, widowed man.
Yeah.
Serious.
Oh, I'm still having trouble wrapping my head around the widowed man and the seriousness.
I know. I don't even know where we started that. It makes me sad every time I think about it.
I know. I like the whole gods and the swoony and kissing thing way better.
Yeah.
Skinny dipping.
Well, yeah, and skinny dipping. How can you not have that in a book? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Very important.
That book is still around. We're still like, you know, we wanted to like rewrite it and stuff, but it is definitely, it's going to happen. We are excited for that one.
Excellent. So. That sounds like a lot of fun. So definitely something I would pick up and read. So you guys found each other through fan fiction. And so you started writing fan fiction together. And then later on, that fan fiction kind of segued into the books that you write for adults. Which are it's the Beautiful Strain. What is the series? Always get it wrong. Series. Thank you. The Beautiful Bastard series. I'm like, it's the Beautiful.
There is a Beautiful Stranger. I heard you on there.
Yeah. Well, that's like my favorite of them. Like, Max Stella is probably my favorite character.
Aw.
Yeah. So
we had never planned on writing that. That had been based on Christina's fan fiction. And, you know, our goal was to write YA books. We were all about the YA. It was what we were reading, what we were writing. And when 50 Shades sold, everybody wanted The Office. The Office had been one of the very first all-human Twilight fan fictions in this trend of stories that really didn't have anything to do with Twilight. It was basically just, you know, writing these characters in any situation you could think of. And in this case, it was, you know, a boss and his assistant and kind of their love-hate thing. And so when 50 Shades sold, like a lot of people publishing houses contacted Christina, and her thing all along was like, look, I've already posted this online. It was only up for 9 months. I took it down. Like, I wouldn't do anything with it unless I could make it something new. And I can't even open it without, like, you know, hating it.
I couldn't.
So, and we were already writing together at the time. So, you know, we weren't sure what was going to happen. She was getting contacted a lot, and we thought, well, maybe we'll just post it back up online. So she sent it to me and I reworked it. I, you know, cut it up, reworked the end, sent it back to her. She reworked it again, and it was like, went through all these revisions. And we were going to post it online, and we realized, like, not much of the original story was left. And our agent was like, I think we need to go out with this. Because what had happened was some people were trying to sell The Office as their book.
Oh, how nice. I love it when that happens.
Yeah. So we were like, okay, either we have to put it up for free after, like, working on it all summer, or we, like, you know, send it out to editors and see what happens. And it sold in about 12 hours.
And during this time, we had YA, like, out on submission at houses and and stuff. And so we were like, what do we do? You know, but.
Yeah.
That's always
it sort of was. It wasn't in the plan, but it ended up being this sort of wonderful serendipitous thing.
Yep. Yeah. So Beautiful Bastard goes out. And that's the name of the first book, too, as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to remember all the books in my head.
Yeah,
there's a lot of them.
Yeah, I'm like, wait. So that's the first one. And so it goes out, it gets sold in 12 hours, and now you're like, okay. So now you have – so when you sold the first one, did you always know that there were going to be more, or did that kind of crop up after the first one sold?
Well, they bought two books, and we just absolutely did not want to write, you know, like a part two. And so we asked them, can we write, you know, another book in the same world but with different characters? And they were like, well, okay, let's see what you can do. And that's when we wrote Max. And we wrote that so quickly and it was so fun. And it just sort of like came out of us. At least, unless I'm remembering it wrong. Like, you know, when you like you have a baby and at the time you're like, don't ever touch me. And afterwards you're like, that wasn't so bad. And let's do that again.
There's a little memory loss there, but it was pretty awesome. Like, we wrote Stranger in 2 months and it was so much fun. And then we sold more books to Gallery. And what had happened was after Beautiful Bastard came out, the film rights sold, the book sold. It was doing really well. And readers really wanted more of Chloe and Bennett. But we knew we couldn't write a full book on them. The problem with writing sequels is you have to break them up or, like, throw some wrenches in the plan, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, we could do that, but it just wasn't really what we wanted to do. So we ended up doing the novellas. And so there's three of those. And that's about, like, the proposal, the bachelor weekend, and then the wedding. But then in addition to that, we also had another full-length novel, which is Beautiful Player. And that's Will and Hannah. And so that was all in 2013.
You guys have been a little busy.
It's been busy, yeah. So there were all six of them last year, and then we're writing the Wild Seasons this year. But what's funny is Sublime actually, Zareen Jaffrey, who's our editor at Books for Young Readers and Simon & Schuster, she had taken Sublime to an acquisitions meeting before BB went out. So she wanted to buy Sublime. We didn't even think we were sending BB out to editors. And so she came back and said, we love it. We would like these revisions before we buy it. And then BB sold. So it was sort of like they both went to Simon & Schuster, but totally different reasons. And then we were so busy writing the second Beautiful book that we didn't get to edit Sublime for another few months. So everything was really staggered and nuts, but it was awesome. It was so fun.
So and the publishing speeds in YA and adult are so different.
Yes. Adult is like rapid fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
It's a totally different world when you think about it.
Yeah.
So you guys are like basically writing at all times.
Yes.
Or on tour for a book, or going to festivals, or
it's been really wild. And I think what's funny is like the whole process of getting published has been this really interesting thing. I mean, we've met so many writers in the last couple of years now who've been on this path, and everybody's on a different point of it. Some of them are still writing their first book, some are querying, some are submitting to editors, some are have books out and they're trying to write their next ones. But you know, for us, it was like. It took us a year to sign an agent. You know, it took us another 9 months to sell a book, and it wasn't even the book that we had been thinking we would sell. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's just so funny how things happen. You know, we went through this whole slog of drafting, and then the first book we write didn't sell, and the second one did, but it was just like, it's just a really interesting path, and I feel like everybody has their own journey to becoming published, you know?
Yeah, and publishing is so diverse in how it picks and chooses its moments and what it picks and chooses.
Yeah.
Like, I always find that really interesting to see what's coming out or to see, like, what's being acquired now that's going to come out in a year and a half from now.
Right. Yeah.
Which is always fascinating, too, because you're like, but that feels so long ago, you know what I mean? Like, it feels so far off, and then you get the books, and you're like, oh, my goodness, so.
I remember reading an interview that Veronica Roth had done when she was talking about Insurgent, and she was saying, it's just so weird to go back and talk about this because I just finished writing the last one. Like, this one, I feel like I wrote so long ago. She had finished writing Allegiant and, you know, Insurgents out. And it's like, you know, you can understand now from when you're an author and you have a book. Like, we wrote Sublime in 2011, right?
Yeah. Definitely.
And it just came out last, you know, a couple weeks ago. So for us, people are like, wow, so, like, what were you thinking when you came up with this story? And we're like, that's a really good question. You know, and, I mean, I kid because, of course, we remember where we came up with it. But it's like, it does feel a little bit like going back in time, you know? And it's funny and fascinating how publishing predicts, like, we are going to buy this now, and we are just going to, like, close our eyes and hope that this is popular in 2 years.
That it is such a crazy thing.
And self-publishing really changes that too, because there are authors who can put stuff out, you know, tomorrow if they wanted. And they're really driving a lot of the trends now. So traditional publishing is like, well, we're going to have to like roll the dice and hope that nothing changes between now and when we think this is going to be big.
Yeah. And I think that's the difference between romance writing or like adult writing and YA writing is that adult writing can get on the bandwagon much, much faster than a YA book. Like, I feel like the turnaround on a YA is at least a year. from the time it's acquired to the time it's put out, whereas I feel like the adult stuff is way quicker.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, it's strange having the two because, like, for our adult stuff, we get, like, our past pages, which are, like, PDFs of your, like, a picture of your finished book. Mm-hmm. We get those as E, but then, like, our YA books, they come to us as, like, a big stack of paper.
Oh, God, that would be crazy to me.
And so it's just, it's so funny how different the two are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's all publishing, all the same stuff, really.
It is.
Mostly the same companies. It's the same houses, just different branches.
Just a different way of doing it.
Different process, yeah.
Absolutely. I have to say, though, I'm so happy that we were trying to get an agent for so long and all of these things, because I remember a time, and I'm sure Lo, where it's like you feel like you'll do anything to get an agent.
Oh, yeah.
You are like, just tell me what to do.
Yeah.
You're just sending it out into the void. Just like if somebody would have offered to sell your soul. There's a moment there where I think every querying author would be like,
where do I sign?
Where do I sign? And so now we still look back on that and go, do you remember the day we got like the call or something? I had found a penny, and I still have that penny like taped to a email somewhere or something. So
that's so funny. So what do you guys, do you have any suggestions for like people who are wanting to become authors? I know a lot of our listeners are also not just readers, but writers as well. And they always have questions about stuff like that. So what do you guys suggest for people who are just taking up writing and looking for agents and stuff like that?
Number one is to like write the book that you love, write the book that's of your heart that you can't get out of your head. And when that book is done and you're querying it, start writing the next one. Like do not ever sit on that one book.
Yeah, I would also say read a ton. I mean, it kind of goes without saying. It sounds really obvious, but, you know, you learn so much about dialogue, about plot arc, about characterizations, about world building when you read, and read really widely. You know, read, try different things. You know, try things that you wouldn't think that you like, but that you see getting really great reviews. Mm-hmm. 'Cause different genres tend to do different things really well. And then also find, you know, a crit partner, you know, Absolute Cooler is a good one. Writing fan fiction is also a great way to learn how to write because you get immediate and very brutally honest feedback.
So true.
And you learn but how to take it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing is we always called it fandom boot camp because writing fanfic, like you can't have an ego. If you do, you get brought down real fast, which is a good thing. And you also, people aren't afraid to tell you what's right and what's wrong about your story. So it's sort of like drinking from the fire hose in terms of feedback. But, you know, I think it's a really good way to learn and you really learn to like handle it. But yeah, so I would say read, you know, try writing fanfic or in other online communities like Wattpad, Fiction Press. Those are good places. And you know, don't be afraid to like really suck at first because I remember I look back at my first story, the fic I wrote, and I'm just like, it cracks me up. My punctuation is abysmal. Like it's so bad. And the words that I use, I don't even know like what I must've been reading at that time to think that it was okay to say things that way, but it's just so it's okay that the first thing you write might be really terrible. Just keep doing it.
And what, I can't imagine being an author now and getting bad reviews and, you know, all of those things without having learned how to deal with them first in fandom. I remember I had this review. So in like the first, you know, beautiful book, they do this thing against a window. And somebody said, maybe next time you can have the glass break and they fall to the ground and die.
Oh, how nice.
I was like, wow. And, but it learned, you know, you learn to have such like, not a thick skin because not everybody wants a thick skin, but you just learn to go, okay, you know, that's about the story. It's not about me and not be such a pedal about everything and realize that, you know, somebody doesn't like your book. That doesn't necessarily mean they don't like you. And so I'm so grateful for that and those bad reviews and stuff that I had, you know, then because now it's just easy to just, well, for one thing, you shouldn't read them. But when you do stumble upon them, which you often do, it's easy to just be like, eh.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's true. And we have a writer resource page on our website at ChristinaLaurenBooks.com where we have stuff about writing a book, about querying, about revising, all of that. So there are some good resources there.
Great. We'll make sure we put the link in the post when the podcast goes up. That'll be good. So tell us a little bit about your new YA Sublime because it's very different than than the Beautiful Bastard series, because that series is all very steamy and sexy and all kinds of crazy, which I love. But Sublime is very different and still very good and very much you guys. So how do you guys transition from writing the crazy, sexy stuff to, like, Sublime, which is just different?
It's actually nice to be able to change it up, I would say.
It is.
You know, we really go from writing these funny, ridiculous, meant to be over the top romances into the YA stories. And in the case of Sublime in particular, you know, it's a very sincere story and it's a little bit more earnest. So in that way, it was hard sometimes for us to like buckle down and be kind of serious about with the characters and not like mess around with them so much. But I think it's nice to change gears and to not have everything go so extreme, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
It was nice to, like, exercise different parts of our brain. I mean, when we finished, I don't even know which book it was that we finished drafting, but we had written a couple, you know, adult romances in a row by the time it was time to start. I think, I don't know if it was revisions or copy edits or what it was on our second YA. And my brain was so thankful for that shift. So it's just nice, yeah, to be able to like use a different part of your brain. I mean, just like sometimes I want to watch comedies and sometimes I want to watch How to Get Away with Murder, and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely. We've also found since it's been out that, like, I mean, the reaction to Sublime has been, you know, all over the place. And it's really fun for us because it is sort of this sweet love story and it's wrapped in a much darker theme. Both of the characters in it are kind of pawns in this larger force at work. So we don't do that with our contemporary adult stuff. That isn't something that we've been able to play with. And some of the readers have really grabbed onto that. So it's been fun having those discussions. I mean, when we write these adult books, people like swoon over the male characters and they love the female characters because they're strong. And of course, a lot of them like the steamy scenes. But, you know, there's a lot of questions that come up in Sublime. And that's been fun to kind of like tease out a little bit. We haven't been able to do that so much. So.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Can you guys tell us anything about what you're working on now? Or is it totally hush-hush?
No, absolutely. So right now we're working on the third Wild Seasons book. So the Wild Seasons is the series that follows the Beautiful Bastard series, and it's got some crossover of characters, but mostly it's a standalone. And the first book is Sweet Filthy Boy, the second is Dirty Rowdy Thing, that's out on Tuesday, November 4th. And then the one we're writing now is the third book, and that's Dark Wild Night. For any adult listeners out there. But the YA book that we have coming out next year it's done. It's in copy edits now. And that's kind of a mashup of Edward Scissorhands and Monster House and Stephen King's Christine.
So it's perfect for the Halloween episode.
It is. Yeah. It really is.
That's for the year.
Yeah. So that book is really, it's very creepy. And it's about this girl who moves back home due to financial stress on her family. She'd been going to boarding school at back east. And the boy that sort of was always this fascinating, quirky guy is still just as fascinating and quirky. And when she follows him home one day, she finds that there's a lot more to his house than she ever expected. So that one should be out next fall, and we are really excited for that one. That's Again, it's also very different from Sublime. You know, it's like just totally different kind of book, but it's that one was a ton of fun to write.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. That sounds super cool. I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah. Yay.
So thank you, ladies, so much for being on tonight. I loved hearing about all your books and all your thoughts on Halloween and everything else. So thanks for being our guests, and everyone should be on the lookout for all of your new books, which we will list in the post because I don't remember all their names. I'm going to be really honest. But one comes out next Tuesday. That's what I remember. Look at that. All right. So thank you so much for being on, you guys. Bye.
Bye.